This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, it's hour number three. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Lee Ellis is going to join us. We're going to talk some NBA. And we always like having Lee on because he really covers this league really well for The Athletic. He's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. So we're going to get him on. And then later on in the show, we're going to talk about Tom Brady winning this year's Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. This has been annually awarded since 1954. There were some serious nominees for this, but in the end, they gave it to Tom Brady, leading the Buccaneers to the Super Bowl at the age of 44. But the history of this award is pretty rich. It used to be a very, very big deal, and I think it's lost a lot of its luster as the magazine has less and less influence in the sports world, with just a lot of sports media coverage. Sports Illustrated was a magazine. I mean, it's really near and dear to my heart. It's one of the reasons I wanted to be in the sports journalism world. I loved the pictures that it painted. I liked the writers. It was my favorite thing every week to get. I read it from cover to cover. And I read it from cover to cover probably until about the mid-2000s. I mean, maybe about 2010, 11. I mean, I was still getting the magazine regularly. Then I kind of stopped and was reading it online. But the Sports Person of the Year award was always kind of a big deal. I always wondered who had a big enough season in all of sports to be the one that they would choose. And sometimes they would choose a bunch. And sometimes it would be for things like social causes, for example. In 2020, LeBron, Patrick Mahomes, Naomi Osaka, Breanna Stewart, they all won. Devernay Tardif, the offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs, they all won it for their work during different social causes of 2020, from COVID to Black Lives Matter, social justice, things like that. Sometimes they've gone that route. Sometimes they've gone, like in 2017, Jose Altuve won for leading the Astros to the championship, but he shared it with J.J. Watt, who raised money for Houston because of Hurricane Harvey. We've seen Terry Bradshaw and Willie Stargell share the award. In 1987, a bunch of athletes won as Athletes Who Care. Teams have won, like Golden State, the Boston Red Sox. We've had Mike Krzyzewski and Pat Summitt win one year as college basketball's winningest coaches. So Tom Brady winning is not a surprise, but were there other candidates? We'll get to that later on in the show. But coming up next, we got Lee Ellis. We'll talk some NBA with him as Wake Up Call continues.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. The Athletic's Lee Ellis joins us. Talk some NBA. Yeah, it's not quite Christmas Day yet, but there's a lot of good action that is going on in the association. How are you, Lee?
Fine, thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's get right to the Phoenix Suns. This was a good team last year, surprise team, made it to the finals, enjoyed the ride, but looks like the ride's continued. Are they different than last year, the same? What do you make of last year's version versus what we're seeing now?
I think you're just seeing a team that actually believes in itself now and really has that confidence. I'd like to say championship confidence, but of course they came two games short. But they certainly have that belief in them that they are a contender, a legit contender. The season actually got off to a bit of a slow start there. They were 1-3, and it looked like there was a little bit of a hangover coming into the season, but they've quickly fixed that and went on that enormous win streak there, the 18-game straight, and certainly do look better. And I think also the fact that Devin Booker has missed the last couple of games here with a bit of a mild hamstring strain. Now, they lost the one game to the Warriors, but that was almost a revenge game anyway there for the Warriors. The Suns were due to lose one. But overall, I think you're seeing a team that has shown real growth, you know, in their important players. Like DeAndre Ayton, for example, you know, he came into the season. They didn't extend him there, the Suns, when they could have, and that caused a little bit of conflict between him and the organization. But he's put that behind him and gone out there and played really good basketball at both ends of the floor. And then if you look at someone like Mikal Bridges, who they did extend, he's actually gone out there and really shown that contract, I think it was 5 years, $90 million in the end, that could end up being a bargain for the Suns, because Bridges is really, really important to what they do at both ends of the floor. He understands his role on the offensive side of things. He's probably no better than the fourth option at best when you think of Paul, Booker and DeAndre Ayton there. So he has to make his money on the defensive end, and he's doing a fantastic job of that right now. Really causing a lot of problems for opposing offenses, playing the lanes, getting steals and creating a lot of transition offense. So overall, the Phoenix Suns, they've taken where they went last season and have built on that. And they certainly look like no worse than the second best team in the Western Conference right now.
And how has the Western Conference been reshaped with the addition now that Golden State is back on top? They were just that fringe team on the end last year, but now they're back to being one of the top team in the NBA, or at least tied with Phoenix for being the top team in the NBA. How has that Western Conference shuffle looked with them being now a conference contender?
Yeah, well, I think what you've seen is, you know, the Warriors had 5 years of making the finals, 7 years of making the playoffs straight. And I think that Steph Curry, the following two seasons, you know, it caught up with him a little bit in the fact that the Warriors weren't as good. He wasn't as good as we'd seen him. And almost like he took a lot of time off. He was injured for a while there in the sort of pre-COVID shutdown season. And then last season they tried to get back, but they couldn't quite. And they're still missing, obviously, Klay Thompson. But now this team looks like it's refreshed and it's ready to go. And it looks like Steph has been rejuvenated, which is incredible to see because he's been playing such great basketball. I think he's the MVP favorite right now. There's a lot of the season to go. We're barely a quarter of the way through here. But I think he's just come back and he sort of wants to remind everybody, hey, you know, we were pretty good for a while there, and we believe we're as good as anybody. And I think you're seeing Andrew Wiggins is looking much more comfortable in that role now on that team. You know, he had the big trade a couple of seasons ago. It took him a while to fit in, but he understands what's expected of him. And then Draymond Green at the other end as well. He's sort of back to his defensive player of the year best. So the Warriors, you know, they're in win now mode. They get Klay Thompson back sometime probably here in the next month, maybe even earlier. And that's a pretty good sign for the Warriors, because that's like adding a free agent, a guy who hasn't played since they made the finals there in 2019, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Oh, right. It does.
You know. So it would be great for the Warriors if they can get Klay Thompson back to full health. Now, it'll probably take him, you know, I would think at least a month, to even longer, to sort of get back into his groove. But the Warriors, that continuity is there. You know, they brought back Andre Iguodala, who was a big part of their championships, and they've just had the pieces that have been there for a while also having a good mix of youth there with players like Juan Toscano-Anderson. Jordan Poole's been really good, and even Jonathan Kuminga in sort of spot minutes this season. So the Warriors have certainly sent a message around the rest of the league that, hey, you know, our championship window hasn't closed just because we haven't been to the playoffs the last two seasons.
The Lakers in their sort of ho-hum season right now, a game above 500, 5-5 over their last 10. If I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. I will just pay attention to LeBron's teams when they reach the playoffs because he has that extra gear. Is this, though, concerning? They give up a lot of points. Is this, though, concerning in early December about the way this team's playing?
Well, yeah, I mean, at some point, LeBron simply is going to slow down. I agree with what you say 100% that, like, we've sort of written off LeBron or dismissed him perhaps during the regular season, only for him to sort of crank it up a gear in the playoffs. But, you know, no one's Superman. I mean, he's going to be 37 here at the end of this month. And as well as he's been playing, I don't think from watching him this season that he's still got that same explosiveness and that power. Last night, really good win for the Lakers against their old rival, the Boston Celtics. But really through a quarter of the season so far, the Lakers defensively have been abysmal. And I just wonder, you know, it took the effort last night to get the victory, but is this team actually able to sustain that throughout the course of the season? I'm not convinced, because Anthony Davis, you know, very good player, but he at times to me looks like he's not 100% healthy either. He's carrying a few injuries around. Maybe his conditioning is just not all that great, but he hasn't really put his dominance on the team yet. Now, again, like I say, maybe in 25 games, maybe in another 30 or 40 games, the Lakers do start to click. But so far, it hasn't been a very convincing start. Russell Westbrook hasn't been a great fit. I mean, the stats are fine. He's almost averaging a triple-double in that same sort of bracket again, but it certainly isn't the same player that we've seen him in the past. So the Lakers certainly have some issues. I don't believe they can sort of really come back and challenge the Warriors and the Suns. perhaps the Jazz, you know, maybe around there. And the Nuggets have obviously got some injury concerns of their own. But this is probably the least convincing Lakers team, or LeBron team, I should say, that I've seen maybe in his career, really, at this point. Because usually you sort of have that belief that LeBron can turn around. I'm just not sure he can this season.
I feel bad staying in the Western Conference, but this is kind of where the party is. Let's go with Portland. They're struggling. Chauncey Billups is not working. The guy that hired Chauncey Billups is out. There's rumors now, talk about Damian Lillard, trade value. What are you hearing about Portland, and what are they going to do with Lillard?
Well, Lillard, I think, is probably the last thing that they are going to do, the last move they're going to make. I think, firstly, they'll try to trade CJ McCollum or Yusuf Nurkic. I think those two can get them decent assets in return. And at that point, you're going to get an idea of which direction the franchise is going to go in. Do they trade those sort of guys for vets and other players who can contribute right now? Or do they take the other path where it's like, we just want draft capital in return, maybe a couple of first-round picks in the years to come? And if they signal that way, then I think it's pretty clear that they should move on from Damian Lillard. He's been a very loyal guy throughout his career. He's confessed his love to Portland and how he wants to be a Blazer for life. But that can sometimes also restrict you or hold you back from actually getting close to competing for a championship. The Blazers are nowhere near competing for a championship, and they won't be this season. So, you know, if Lillard wants to stay there, you know, it's admirable, that sort of quality to say, I want to be a one-team guy forever. But at the end of the day, you know, you need to be competing for championships, especially when you're a player who was named in the top 75 players of all time in the recent poll there from the NBA. So I think we're going to see a complete change there. I think you're going to see Lillard, McCollum, and Nurkic all traded at some point. But I think those first two dominoes have to go. I don't think the Blazers move on from Chauncey Billups. I think it's a bad move to sign a guy his first year as a head coach to say, oh, you know what, it's your fault, you're out. I think you've got to at least give him one full season here and then reevaluate. But a pretty bad situation in Portland on the court and then off the court as well.
I do want to get to one team in the Eastern Conference. That's a team that played in the conference finals, and that's Atlanta. Again, I'm not going to get down on a team that's struggling early. We still got a lot of basketball to play. Has it been injuries? Has it been cohesiveness? Atlanta, I feel like, turned the corner, but it doesn't look like they've turned the corner. What do you make of the Hawks?
Yeah, every team's dealing with some sort of injury and illness right now, and the Hawks are no different. Bogdanovich has been out here for a while. Cam Reddish has gone. DeAndre Hunter is also out. So that's an easy sort of cop-out excuse to say they're dealing with injuries, but everybody's dealing with that. The Hawks just haven't been that good so far. You know, they're 13-12. They've turned it around a little bit. They've been decent at home but struggled on the road. I think, you know, after what they did last season, they had high expectations. I certainly had much greater expectations for this team. And I think part of it is just you're sort of dealing with that. You know, they surprised a few teams by getting to the conference finals. In fact, the only team to beat the Bucks on the Bucks home court in the playoffs last season. So, you know, that's a team that is a legit team, but it's a little bit different when you sneak up on teams during one season versus coming into the season. People are like, wow, you know, watch out for the Hawks here. Trae Young, you know, his name's been thrown around the MVP conversation coming into the season. You know, John Collins, he signed the extension in the offseason. So they've got some good young pieces here. Nate McMillan had a fantastic end to the season as coach there. But the Hawks, you know, it's always a little bit more difficult just living up to the hype rather than sort of coming from nowhere and catching teams off guard. And I think that's what the Hawks did last season. And I think that's why they are struggling a little bit. I have faith in this team. I think they are better than where they sit right now, which is ninth. So good enough for the play-in tournament. I think they will be better. But 25 games into the season, 13-12, not convinced yet that they are. So I think the next 25 games for the Hawks here are also pretty crucial, because you want to see some separation between that sort of play-in group and then the sort of home court advantage in the first round group. And the Hawks should be, in my opinion, much closer to that sort of top four than where they are right now.
Lee Ellis of The Athletic talking some NBA. I hope to get you on just before the holidays because of what, you know, the Christmas games and whatnot. But if we don't, if we can't hook up, I wish you a happy holiday, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you very much for having me, Tony. Same to you guys.
You got it. Again, Lee Ellis of The Athletic. And again, I hope to get him on just before, maybe a week before the Christmas break or whatnot, just because Christmas is the big day for the NBA. And he's one of our top NBA guys, because those games are, you know, are fun to watch. But it's kind of at that point, Ron and I joke about it, it's kind of like the start. By that time, it's kind of weird. You can move on and play well and catch a wave and whatnot. But around Christmas is when you just really started feeling whether or not things are working or not. And then you might see teams change. but you can't be like hovering around mediocrity and then be like, it's after Christmas going, all right, we'll just do this for a while. I think he's right about LeBron. Again, I've heard it. You all heard it. LeBron in the postseason, you know, it is what it is. He takes that extra level, and before you know it, no one's beating him. But I do think there is an issue here with this Lakers team. He's older. This team gives up way too many points, and they're terrible defensively, struggling in terms of just giving some wins. And you add Golden State back into this mix, and with Phoenix as good as they are, and Utah still being very good. And by the way, Memphis has won 5 in a row without Ja Morant. Not one game in Memphis's win streak had Ja Morant in the lineup. Not one. He's been out the whole time. And they've won 5 in a row. Yes, Dallas is injured. Denver's injured, right, and whatnot. But when you add Golden State right back into a Western Conference, they've disappeared for 2 years, right? I mean, a year, you know, a year, actually. I want to say two, because the bubble they weren't around
yeah.
for the bubble, and then last year they were in the play-in game. So two?
It kind of feels like they're the Patriots.
Yeah, two seasons away. Yeah. it's two seasons away. That's right. So it's two.
Yeah, it was like they're telling the rest of the Western Conference, guys, you get a break from the Warriors.
Yeah, you get a break from the Warriors.
Break
chill
over.
Out a little bit. We got some things to fix. Yeah. And then he talks about getting Klay Thompson back, and he's right. It's like signing a free agent.
Right.
He hasn't been around since the 2019 finals, and then just going to add him to an already 24-4 basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, he was decent.
Yeah, right. It's like if you thought the Warriors were just going to go away and hide for a bit, they're right back in your life again.
That's why they're right? The Patriots
just winning games. That's right. They're like, just like the Patriots. It is Wake Up Call in Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, our thanks to Lee Ellis, talking some NBA with us. We just found out he's leaving for the holidays, so he might not be able to get him on before Christmas.
Yeah.
Kind of sad. Well, nevertheless, I wanted to offer him a happy holidays anyway, because he's been one of our go-to guests for the league. And when we find these guys that we like, that sort of get us, we try to keep them.
Yeah. You know, but you know what? The thing is, we don't abuse them.
Right. We don't get them on all the time. And we don't have them on every time we want to talk NBA.
Right.
Dan Favalli's been on the show. We've had a couple of guys. Same with NFL. Like, we have certain guys we like, and then we have a bunch of guys we get on.
But if we're being honest, when it's something big, he's usually a go-to.
Yeah, he's usually a go-to. I have a car problem but don't know where to go. Maybe you're on a road trip when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts shop referral program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reparable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So I'm going to try to convince you right now, real quick, and then we're going to get to the Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year Award.
All right.
But real quick, I thought I would take this time to try to convince you on Sunday morning to wake up and watch the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. And I'm going to try to convince you to do that because of something that everyone knows is great about motorsports, and that is the possibility of crashes.
Yes.
All right? That's what we always talk about. We don't want the drivers to die, but we want them to kind of crash.
No, like, we do.
We like the aspect of crashing.
We do. I remember that. It's a famous joke. Robin Williams used to talk about it. It's like, you don't go to NASCAR events to watch cars take left turns all day.
Right. Exactly. So I'm going to set this up for you. It's at 7 in the morning. It's an early wake-up call.
Yep.
But here's what's going to happen. So there's two drivers competing for the world championship. Lewis Hamilton, who's won this thing 7 times.
I've heard of him.
And Max Verstappen, who drives for Red Bull Racing.
I've heard of that. Drink. I've heard of him, too.
Yeah, they're competing for the championship. This is the final race of the season, and they are tied in points. Okay? Now, all season long that started in March, these guys have tangled on the racetrack, racing side by side. And a couple of times, they have crashed into each other. Famously, in Great Britain at Silverstone, Max got hit, and he almost flew off the racetrack. He slid right off the racetrack into a wall at over 50 Gs, slammed right into the wall after touching up with Hamilton. Monza in Italy, the cars tangled up in a corner, and Max's car ended up on top of the Mercedes car of Lewis Hamilton with the wheel near his head. So they've touched wheel to wheel. They They touched up at the last race at Saudi Arabia, right? So they go at each other really hard. Here's the thing: they're tied in the points. Verstappen is the more aggressive driver. If these two drivers crash out of this Grand Prix on Sunday, if they both don't finish, they both can't get points. You only get points to the top 10. If you're out of the top 10, you don't get any points. Max will win the world championship based on wins this upcoming season. And he's the more aggressive driver. So a lot of conversation about Max maybe, quote unquote, purposely causing an incident so that he can walk away the world championship. So there you go. Since that's the aspect of racing you like, that could actually take place this weekend.
I'm in.
I've laid down the reason.
Yeah. Now there's only one thing that could derail that,
which is
for me. You know.
Yeah. Well. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can't. You know.
Can I watch it on my phone? Is there a way to stream it?
Sure.
Because I might be out and about.
Maybe I'll give you my F1 TV account.
Uh-oh. Are you allowed to do that? Isn't that frowned upon?
I don't know.
I don't want to get in trouble there, Tony.
I don't know. I mean, is it the same as Disney Plus, which I guard with my life? I don't know.
My mom still calls me. She's like, using my Netflix account? I'm like, yeah. No, we haven't been using that for years now.
Exactly.
You should. I'm like,
oh,
why?
Oh, goodness. I never feel guilty when somebody lends me their account for something.
No.
I never feel bad.
And for
I feel like I should. I've been told my whole life it's like stealing.
Yeah, for a while, my mom, you know, we did use my mom's Netflix account, but then, you know, so did my brothers and this, and then we wanted to watch a show, we couldn't get on. I was like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I've never stolen cable, like, I've never spliced cable, like, I've never done that. But if somebody, like, goes, hey, man, I got the NFL package, and it comes with an online, where I can watch games online, here, you want to watch the Steelers game? Here's my username and website. I'm not going to be on this weekend, you can use it.
Yeah.
And I never think, like, this might not be a good thing. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but I do it anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, I would think that they would just tell you not to.
Right.
I mean, Netflix knows. They know.
Remember,
we talked about it, but Netflix was trying to figure out a way electronically to prohibit that from happening.
Yeah. It's almost a worthless fight.
Yeah.
Right? So people are just going to find a way to do it. So. And if you make it too complicated, you could lose people. You could lose the fringe people that are like, well, I pay for it. I barely watch it, but I always have it.
Yeah.
If you make it too complex where it's like, wait a minute, I'm not going to put a fingerprint on a facial scan.
No, I'm out.
I ain't doing that nonsense. I'm out. I only watched a few things. I don't need this. And I'm out. Then they lose a good chunk of their audience. Because I got to think for Netflix, there is a small population. When I say small, I'm meaning in the, you know, millions. Because they've got like hundreds of millions of subscribers. But there's a smaller percentage that is just going to buy it no matter what, doesn't care what the content comes in. They always want it. They always need it. There's going to be a percentage that never, ever, ever will buy it. They never want to watch it. They don't care how good Tiger King is. They could care less. They're never getting Netflix. And then there's the middle of people who are like, I pay $15 a month, but I probably watch one or two things a month on it. I don't really watch it a lot. I could live with it or live without it. And you don't want to lose those people. So you don't want to make it so complex that makes that large group of people that go, yeah, no, I was never really all that. I wasn't all in anyway. So
see, you know what we use it for, and it's great because our cable service that we still pay for, and we're going to continue. You can watch Netflix through our cable service now. So when my wife, like right now, you know, obviously holiday movies are the big thing. She hasn't found Hallmark yet, so I don't know if I want to turn her on to that because I've heard horror stories from you.
My wife is addicted to these movies,
and I know she would be too. That's why I'm like, yeah,
she loves all of them.
Stick with the classics, Elf, Christmas Vacation. You know, just stick to those. But they're all like on Netflix. They're all on various streaming services, and she'll just say, you know, I want to watch Elf, and then it pops up. Oh, it's on Netflix. Well, we have it. Here we go. Turn to it. That's how we are. I know my wife watches Netflix a lot more. I believe my kids do too. I'm that 1% or that other percent that. You know, I'm still trying to get through Squid Games.
Yeah, right.
You know, I watch a few episodes, and then I won't go back to it. I hope maybe I'll watch it tonight, a little bit tonight. All depends. But, like, tomorrow night, nah, we got football to watch.
Yeah, that's right. All right, coming up, we got Tom Brady winning the Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. But who were the other candidates for that award? It may surprise you. I'll have that next as we continue on Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. All right, so Tom Brady won the SI Sports Person of the Year yesterday, 44 years old, led the Buccaneers to a Super Bowl, and that was no surprise, and he's on an MVP trek this year, so it's not just, hey, first month of the season, month and a half of the season. He's on a MVP level now, so this is a pretty good award for him. He wins it for the second time in his career, I think.
Overachiever.
I know, right? But as I said earlier, the SI Sports Person of the Year was kind of a big deal back in the day. Roger Bannister won the first one for getting the sub-4-minute mile. But, you know, Arnold Palmer has won it. Jack Nicklaus has won it. Bill Russell has won it. Bobby Orr. I mean, the list goes on and on. They've done quirky things with it. Oh, Steve Coughlin won it for winning the Triple Crown back in 1977. They've done some quirky things with it. Bradshaw and Willie Stargell were as Super Bowl and the Pirates winning the World Series. They were on the cover. They've done teams, the most famous being the U.S. hockey team in 1980. That seemed very apropos for that season. They've done the Golden State Warriors. They did the Boston Red Sox when they broke the curse. Tiger Woods, as a U.S. amateur and NCAA champion, was the sports person of the year before he even turned pro. And then, of course, with three major championships in 2000, he won it again. So they've done the Jose Altuve-J.J. Watt pairing in 2017, World Series, and then the hurricane relief by J.J. Watt. They did Athletes Who Care. They did Athletes for Social Justice. I mean, they've done all sorts of different things, and so they gave the award to Tom Brady. But here were some of the candidates for that award, and let's grade them against the Brady choice. Giannis Antetokounmpo, finally breaking through, leading Milwaukee to their first NBA title in 50 years. All right. Brady winning a Super Bowl his first year with Tampa Bay, probably a better feat than Giannis winning the NBA championship, although that's a pretty good feat for the Greek freak. But still, I think I'd lean to Brady on that. All right, how about Shohei Ohtani?
Ooh.
Right? Now, Shohei Ohtani may have had one of the best seasons in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, and I don't recall Babe Ruth winning this.
Right? No. And so, yeah, right? So, do you award a guy that has a sport that has over a century of names and accomplishments that lives and dies by its numbers, when you have a guy that has done all numbers we've never seen in the sport as both a pitcher and a hitter? Do you take, because we may never see it again. It's not like Shohei Ohtani, he may duplicate this, he may not. This one special year. Or does Brady winning yet another Super Bowl, but this time with his own team, quote unquote, rather than the Patriots, still trump the greatest baseball season? Well, it does say a lot about our country, right? We tend to care more about football than we do about baseball. But it's never stopped them from putting in baseball players to win this award. They put them in plenty of times. But Shohei Ohtani, if I was voting, I'd probably vote him. But I think the Brady story is better, right? We all were in on the whole Brady versus Belichick thing. And then this guy wins a Super Bowl with a new team. His first year, they get him. When we thought, Father Time's going to beat him now, right? No, he wins. How about Candace Parker? Candace Parker led the Chicago Sky to the first ever WNBA title. Nice, but not as good as Brady winning a Super Bowl. In fact, I didn't think the parade was all that impressive. How about Nikita Kucherov? First of all, hockey. What could you? I mean, I'm sorry. It's hockey. It's going up against a Tom Brady, the king of the NFL. Nikita Kucherov winning back-to-back championships with the Tampa Bay Lightning, leading all scorers in the NHL playoffs for the second straight year. Sorry, but not sorry. First of all, I've lived in Tampa. My wife's from that area. Nikita Kucherov winning back-to-back championships and the Lightning winning back-to-back championships was not a bigger story in Tampa than the Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl. Right? And getting Tom Brady. Sorry, that is a bigger story than back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Lightning are pretty big. A lot of Northerners have adopted that team. They moved down there for the warm weather. They adopted that team, but the Buccaneers are king of that town.
And I mean no disrespect, but you could have told me he won the Grand Slam in tennis, and I'd be like, right with you.
Right, exactly. Right? How about These are two groups. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Two groups of people. One, college athletes. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yep.
That was a big deal. Name, image, and likeness is a game changer. The sport is never going to be the same again. Recruiting is never going to be the same again. They just talked about a quarterback at LSU that took a big deal at a local Ford dealership in Baton Rouge. He never played a snap for the Tigers. And yet made money in his time at LSU. He's entered the transfer portal. He's going to be gone, but he took his fair share of money and when they thought he was going to be the king of LSU.
And the athletes making the most money is a twin set of girls, I think, from Louisiana as well.
Yeah,
they're on the gymnastics team.
Yeah,
and it's because of their TikTok presence.
That's right. Because now these guys, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is that you, with these YouTube videos, whatever they get paid by these social media companies, they are going to make a fortune. And this is the first time forever. Every single college athlete that has ever played anything in sports is silently envious, but silently happy or publicly happy that these athletes get to live the monetary gains from their athletic ability. That is, I will tell you, if there was one thing that could trump Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl in 2021, it would be name, image, and likeness. The problem is it's not that sexy, right? It's not that sexy. It's kind of a story that most people will be like, yeah, but it's not the same emotional impact. Now, this one is a little, it's a little sentimental, right? It's a little historic.
Okay.
It's a little, it's pulling at the, and that is the fans.
Oh, jeez.
We got to come back.
Yeah, no.
The fans returned.
That one's a hard pass.
We were in our homes for so long, and we couldn't watch our teams, and we couldn't go to the stadiums, but now. We can. Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't mind that if I didn't feel like every single media entity kept telling us how stupid this was. Probably Sports Illustrated, too, probably had a couple
at
of articles
point, yeah.
that said, oh, y'all are you SEC schools, because they loved picking on the South. You SEC schools, you have blood on your hands. You're going to be murdering thousands of people by allowing them to attend the Alabama Southern Miss game.
But here's a plaque.
Yeah, exactly. But now they want to say, oh, fans, you were so good to come back to sport. Get out of here with that nonsense. You were talking about like mass deaths, like it was like Gone with the Wind, for crying out loud, through the South. That stadiums were going to be just filled with dead bodies from COVID-19 because we wanted to see the, you know, an SEC clash in Oxford. Stop with that nonsense. So those are the Suni Lee and Simone Biles. I'm sorry about that. I almost left this one out. Suni Lee and Simone Biles, these were two athletes that they kind of how do I put it?
Well, Simone Biles dropped
mental health.
Yeah, but Suni Lee, she didn't have mental health.
She didn't have mental health. She won the
all around.
Like, yeah,
came
but
out of
Simone
nowhere
Biles
and won
pulled
the
out and gave attention to
yeah.
The mental health. Why am I butchering this? I feel like I should rewind and start that over.
Nah,
I couldn't
really
quite say that correctly. So in the end, here were some candidates, but in the end, I think they got it right with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one I think would have been, I already forgot.
Shohei Ohtani?
No, Giannis.
Giannis, yeah.
I thought Giannis might have been a good one as well.
I thought Giannis was a good one.
Just because, you know, I mean, it's what he did to a city, not just individual. Tom Brady was more individual. I mean,
yeah.
I know, you know, hey, Tampa, you know, he did it for the Buccaneers, but that was more of an individual achievement in the fact that here he is at 43, left his only home and still went out and made something of himself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I look back at like 2016, and in 2016, LeBron James won the Sports Person of the Year. That was the year he got Cleveland that title. Right? He over the hump. But the Cubs won the World Series. And I thought they were going to give it to the Cubs, right? They gave it to the Red Sox when the Red Sox broke their curse in 2004.
Yeah.
I thought, you got to give it to the Cubs. But their panel felt like, that's great. But LeBron, and I honestly think it was probably because he sent the letter to, going back to Cleveland, he sent a letter to the Sports Illustrated writer. I think it was Lee Jenkins at the time when he
pandering.
Yeah, so
he was planning ahead.
Thank you for letting it. Like, that was like 2 years before, right? Or a year before. And so I think he gave Lee Jenkins the letter, and then they sort of said, oh, well, look at this, you won. But I remember, I'll tell you the one I disagreed with, and it made a lot of my Denver friends angry. In 2013, Peyton Manning had an outstanding year. Remember how great that offense was? They went to the Super Bowl and they ended up losing out to Seattle, a better defense.
Yeah.
But that he set records. That offense was on fire. And they awarded Peyton Manning the Sports Person of the Year. But I said, you know who it should have been? I thought it should have been David Ortiz. Because David Ortiz began the season with the Boston Marathon bombing. Remember that year? And he was the one that said, this is our bleeping city. And then they won the World Series, and he had an outstanding postseason. And I thought what you had was a bookend of events, right? Like just this sort of a guy saying to his fan base, we are together. We are Boston strong. We are going to. And then at the end of that, he won the championship for that city. And I thought that's a story. That's a narrative. That's a story. Manning putting up big statistics is great. But it doesn't. It's not a story like David Ortiz and the Red Sox going from this tragedy to this triumph in this period of time, and Ortiz being the center of it. He grabbed that microphone and he was willing to be the spokesperson for the city of Boston. And then he ended up having a wonderful postseason and delivered in the end. So I thought, if you're looking for a larger picture thing, I would have gone David Ortiz in 2013.
I'm looking over the list of the people who have won.
Yeah.
Right? And they all have something in common. There's two things they have in common. One was that year for them was just ridiculous.
Ridiculous, right.
Like you're bringing up Peyton Manning. Like, he had a great offensive season. But he won the MVP that year, set a record, and was AFC champion. As opposed to, say Michael Phelps, who won in 2008 8 gold medals. It was like these enormous achievements. It was either that or, there was a story of, how they helped someone out.
Yeah, there was a side to them. There was an off-the-field side to them that was good. Like Arthur Ashe, if you look up, you'll see 1992, Arthur Ashe.
I have this whole list in front of me. It's
exactly.
Fascinating.
And it really is really interesting. There were some. I remember as a kid getting the 87 issue that had Dale Murphy and Chip Reeves and Patty Sheehan on it that said Athletes Who Care. And even then, I was a teenager back then. Even then, I felt kind of cheated out of that because I'm like, all right, this is cute, but who is the athlete on top of the athletes? Who's the not athlete per se? Who's the personality above all of them? Like of everybody who did something, who was the top one? Like Stephen Coffin, triple crown jockey. Right? How great is that? Absolutely. Over everybody else that did anything in sports that year. Right? That kind of thing. But instead, you gave me 8 athletes, and it's just because they care for people. Yay. Right? Like, how did you pick that out of the thousands who have their own charities and do their own thing? Right? I thought that was a little bit of a cop-out. Give me a Joe Montana, right? Or someone like that.
They did in 1990. Yeah,
that's right. Joe Montana. Right? So
I love the fact, though, it's almost as if they knew because, the 87 issue was Athletes Who Care. 86 went to Joe Paterno.
Right, Joe.
Sports Illustrated said, in the future, they'll thank us for this.
Somebody's got the Gray Sports Almanac. Like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you gave it to that guy. We got to back it up the following year.
Exactly. All right, it's Tony D. Ron Culver. We'll get you set for Denton Day coming up next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we just got a couple minutes before the end of the show today, but Ron told me during the break, he asked me if I heard this Joe Buck clip during the Manning cast, and I'll admit, I didn't watch the Manning cast. I sometimes forget it's on.
I knew it was on.
I was so caught up in this game, I did not watch. Didn't even think to turn the channel. That was on me.
Yeah, I may have watched like 10 seconds of it, but I was more into the game. I was like, I need to hear what's going on.
So what did Joe Buck say? Here's the clip.
What reminded me of this was that you were talking about Manning's statistically awesome year.
Right.
But he ended up losing to the Seahawks in that Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl, right.
And not really just losing.
It was like 40-something to 8.
Yeah, the game was over before it started. So that reminded me of this little back and forth between Joe Buck and Peyton Manning.
Hey, Joe, when y'all have a blowout game, do you ever wish you could have a guest on there that you and Troy could interview?
Yeah, the last time I thought about that was when you guys played Seattle at the Super Bowl. Oh, shots. Shots fired. Yes.
Wow, Joe Buck bringing some of that heat. Oh, look at him. Don't go crazy on me, Buck.
Now, the first thing I thought of was like, how could you hate that?
Oh, no,
how can you hate that guy?
It's good. Good stuff.
It was quick.
That's such a cool look. It's like an innocent little question. And Joe Buck's internally in Joe Buck's head, he goes, he asked me a question. I think I'll throw a little insult at him. Like, that's how you do it, man. That's good. Have
my
some fun with
on the outside
Mannings.
Corner.
Yeah, exactly. During a blowout, do you wish? Yeah, well, last time was when you were getting beat by Seattle. Da-dum, bump. I'm here all week. Dip your waitresses and bartenders, people. I'm Joe Buck. I love him. It's great. Joe Buck is the most hated sportscaster I have outside of Howard Cosell in my lifetime.
But Howard was for different reasons.
Yeah, but I was too young to really feel the Howard heat. I've heard this for 20 years about this guy.
And the whole reasoning behind it has never really been identified.
Like, no!
At least when people hated Howard Cosell, they had reasons for it.
They
you
did.
Heard all the reasons from, like, you know, just, you know, being racist to, you know, whatever, you know, the wide spectrum. Joe Buck is just purely because he exists.
Buck is on the call. I'm muting my TV. And no one can tell me why they're going to do that. No one can tell me why. He hates my team. So what? Denton Day next.